In these days, it seems to me that we are sore in need of Thanksgiving. If you take a look around, there's lots to be worried about in our world. Storms are raging with increased frequency and ferocity. Young Aboriginal people are taking their lives. Canadians have higher personal debt than any other time in history. Truly frightening people, I'm not going to name who they may be, are grasping for power. And none of this even touches the personal challenges that you and I face in our lives. It's more than enough to make one despair and lament, to cry out for justice and to call for action. Those responses, of course, have their time and their place. But on this weekend, in this place, at this moment, let's consider a response that is radical, a response of thanksgiving. In the gospel that I just read, Jesus is again in a border region, crossing boundaries and wandering where he probably shouldn't go. And he's again healing people whom he has no business interacting with. And this time he runs into a group of 10 people, 10 lepers. They are unclean and outcast. They are used to being ignored at best. Spit upon and told to go away was the course of their day. There was undoubtedly a group of 10 of them because they had to band together to form some kind of community, because no one else would care for them or listen to them or be with them in any close proximity. And they had probably asked many people, because there were many healers about in Jesus' day, they probably asked many of them for healing. And clearly, nothing had worked. So today they approach Jesus. He was the latest healer to come along. And they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They don't even ask to be healed. They just say, "Have mercy." Maybe they're hoping for a few coins or a bit of food or just a smile. But they call out. They keep their distance because they are trained by bitter experience to expect little from those around them. In response, Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to the priests, promising by implication, at least we know this now, that they'll be made well when they do so. They don't even have to get to the priest. As they are on their way there, they are healed from leprosy. And when one of them notices, he immediately turns back to express his gratitude, he, of course, being the foreigner. And he falls at Jesus' feet and worships him and gives thanks. The other 9 went on their way. We often read this, and I've often read it, that Jesus has sort of said, "Where are the other 9? Come on, where are they?" But this time I actually heard it, "Where are the other 9? They did nothing wrong, you see. We often read into this that they were wrong not to thank Jesus, but they didn't do anything wrong. They did exactly what they were told. They went ahead to see the priest. They were probably full of skepticism and doubt, and they were going to see it through to the end to see if anything else changed, perhaps. And maybe when they got to the priest, they thanked them. We don't know. After all, they must have been wondering, why would Jesus heal them when so many other people couldn't? Or perhaps those 9 had never experienced graciousness or kindness or compassion in their lives before, and they didn't recognize the healing when it came, that it came from Jesus' heart. After all, we all know people who have the kind of life experience where pain and bitterness prevail. After all, how can you be thankful for something if you don't even recognize what it is? On the other hand, the one who turns back is identified by Jesus, recognized and affirmed that he not only saw that he was healed in the moment, but he saw that it came from the heart of God, and he wanted to say thank you. And he was actually blessed a second time. A second time. Weren't they all made well? Wouldn't that be enough? Well, probably not. Because you see, blessing and healing are two separate things. They were healed from their leprosy, but that might not have been seen as a blessing. Because all of a sudden, their whole lives had been changed. They were going from having to be cared for to taking care of themselves. They were going to have to earn their own way in life. They were going to lose their community of the other people who had been around them. This may not have looked like much of a blessing. A healing, yes, but not necessarily a blessing. But this man saw it all. And he was blessed a second time and said, "Go on your way. Your faith has made you well and blessed, and you are whole." All of that has come together. Now, the question I wonder is, why did he turn back? Why? Was it because he was a foreigner and he even appreciated it more? Or had he maybe received love and kindness and gentleness and compassion before? And when Jesus healed him, he recognized it. He knew what that was. And he wanted to give thanks for it and rejoice in it. See, that's the thing about thanksgiving and blessing and healing. There are two parts. There's the part of recognizing it, and there's also the giving thanks for it. There's the part of healing, and then there's the part of wholeness. Have you ever noticed how powerful it is not only to receive a blessing, but to name it and to give thanks for it? Like, for instance, you're having dinner with your friends. You can think about this over Thanksgiving weekend. And it's one of those meals that you've prepared not without trepidation, probably, or stress, but you've prepared it with love for the people you want to share it with. And you have a certain time, and the table is set, and you eat it very deliberately. And sometime during that meal, time kind of stops for just a moment, and you look around at the people who've gathered there with you. And you realize what a sense of community that is and how joyful it is. And you lean over maybe to the person next to you and say, "This is great. I'm so glad you're here." Or someone undoubtedly raises a glass and says, a toast for this time together. So you see it, and you give thanks for it, and the original blessing is multiplied because of that. You get blessed a second time. It happens in all sorts of ways in our lives. Many of you know that I go often with, four times a year, with two of my colleagues, my female colleagues, on a little overnight retreat in Wakefield. And we started as kind of, we need to get together, and it's a really good time to offload a lot of the stuff that we clergy tend to carry around that you don't want to know about. And we have a great time bonding and enjoying a good meal and sitting in a hot tub and just relaxing. We have actually done it four times a year, 2 years in a row now. But the last year, I have realized when we are there, this may never happen again. Every time I'm there, I'm very aware that this could be the last time we do this. Not that we don't like each other, but lives change. Commitments change. Finances change. To find a day takes a lot of effort when the three of us are actually free. One day, that won't happen. And so my sense of that time has become heightened and blessed and is even more special now, because I know it's not always going to be that way. But what about the times whenever we don't see the blessing? The times when we're hurt or indifferent or angry about a situation, an action, a relationship, and we're in no mood whatsoever to give thanks. It's the last thing we would consider doing. We're like the lepers. We asked for mercy, not healing. Time passes, though, and life goes on. And then one day you realize that despite how you perceived it at the time, the situation or the action or the relationship was actually a blessing. And finally, you're able to give thanks for it. And you're healed. Just recently, I was talking to someone who had told me that they had once been fired from their job. And I said, wow, I've actually not yet had that experience. And I can't imagine how horrible it must be, and it sounds like you're still feeling that pain. And they said, oh yes, it was absolutely horrible. But now when I look back on it, it was the best thing that ever could have happened to me. It was the best thing, because I had to look at myself and what I was doing and realize this was not fulfilling, this was not the best I could do, and I found a whole new career that opened up life for me. Thanksgiving is incredible. Real thanksgiving springs from perception, our ability to recognize the blessing, and articulation, giving expression, no matter how inadequate it may seem at the time. In our gospel, only one person happens to get that in that moment, the Samaritan. Every time, though, that sight of that and word happens, we get a second blessing. But there's something even more amazing than that, and that is that Jesus looks for us. In the gospel, he says, where are the other nine? Where are they? And he doesn't go away. He doesn't stop looking. How many more gospels do we read that Jesus is looking for us? He's waiting for us to get it, to get the thanksgiving and the fullness of it. It's a noble emotion, thanksgiving. It draws something out of us and makes us see things larger and bigger and grander than we could ever imagine. And it joins us to the font of blessing. It frees us from fear, anxiety, and makes us more bold to do more, dare more than we ever thought we could do. Even to return to a Jewish rabbi to pay homage when you're a Samaritan, because you realize that you're more than a Samaritan. You're more than just a regular person. You're more than a leper. You're even a healed leper. You're a child of God, whole and acceptable and beautiful just the way you are. This past week, we've had three sessions of appreciative inquiry in the parish, and this is what it's based on. This is exactly what it's based on, that we, as children of God, are whole and accepted and beautiful just the way we are. And imagine the blessing when we hang on to that, we realize that, and we act out of it. Whether it be ourselves, or our parish, or our community, or our world. That's what the nine missed that day. They didn't do anything wrong. It's that they didn't see it all in that moment. And they didn't have the words, perhaps, to express it. And they escaped the wholeness of the moment. But we don't know the end of their story. After the 8 o'clock, someone said to me, I wonder what they did afterwards. Do you think they thanked the priests? Do you think they just went back? And how did they treat lepers after that, do you think? Do you think they were, like, nicer to them? Or do you think they were shunning them? What do you think they did? That's why this gospel is so amazing. We don't know. But Jesus is still waiting, looking for them, waiting to hear the celebration. So when we think about how I began, about our world with all the troubles, yes, it is. It's filled with all those things, but it's also filled with all things of blessing. That's why today, in the midst of places that have no food, in the parts of our country that are poor, we have our food. We have the blessings of abundance here to remind us that we still can be giving thanks. We have families that care for each other. We have colleagues who work hard and well. We have schools where teachers care about their pupils and students are eager to learn. We do have forms of government that are far from perfect, yet are striving to make a better world. We have relief agencies that tend the afflicted, people who put their lives on the line to save us as police and paramedics. We have good neighbors who support us. We have a community of faith where the word is preached and the life of faith is nourished, and much, much more. Our world, in the midst of all of its pain and grief and strife, is a world full of blessings and the challenge to see the blessings in the midst of it. And we have a choice about which to focus on. There's a time for lament and cries for justice and activism. But in our culture, where blame and accusation and impatience are rife, maybe even just for this day, we can hold up graciousness and compassion and kindness. Maybe on this day we can show by our thoughts and our words and our deeds that we are truly thankful. Maybe on this day we can be a little bit like Jesus and be patient with those who have yet to give thanks. And maybe on this day we can show the world the joy of not only being healed, but also the blessed power of giving thanks with all that we have and all that we are as children of God. Because just like today's story, which leaves you with a bunch of questions, there's always more to God's story than meets the eye. Happy Thanksgiving.